It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, that's Dave Hyde with us from the Sun Sentinel. What are you writing over the weekend? What are you thinking?
You know what I talked
about? What am I going to look at Sunday?
Yeah, so I have to go out to the Inter-Miami game. Game 3 of their playoff series. That's Saturday. But for Sunday's paper, I talked to Dave Shula. Chris Shula is the defensive coordinator of the Rams.
Great story.
Sort of here's the Shula family, sort of an American football family, you know, and now it's generational, you know, father, son, grandfather,
First year as defensive coordinator. He's been with McVay for a while. They went to college together.
My school, Miami.
Yeah,
Ohio.
That's right. So you know the whole history there. And so you talk about going around. Bo and I are looking at each other because Bo's daughter and my son went all through school together, same age. And he was the same age as and went through school with our kids. And they played football together at St. Thomas. So
you followed him.
Followed him
through the years.
Sat with David and sat with Coach Shula watching the kids play JV football and varsity football. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's great.
So anyway, that was many, many years ago, and here he is now the defense coordinator for the Rams trying to stop the Miami Dolphins offense. It's finally at full speed, and we'll see what
they got. A young Rams defense that is coming on as the season does too. So it'll be interesting. Here's
they
the Dolphin offense.
A lot of drafted guys. To your point, they have loaded up and said we're going to do it. We got to do it through the draft,
and they've drafted really well. We talked a little of this earlier. They're 4 linemen, defensive linemen. Last couple years of draft, and I was looking at Bill Belichick has a show, and he picked 2 of their linemen on his all young players team. I guess
not rookie, but the guys from
second
the
year player.
Yeah, gotcha.
I think, team.
Yeah,
and so it'll be right here. Here's the Dolphins offense, healthy. Tua played really well last weekend.
Everybody nationally, you know, it's one thing because people, And all the people in the business have said, that's about as well as, and Mike came out and said, listen, that's one of the best games he's ever played.
Yeah.
When you consider everything, the fakes, running the, some of the fakes that he did and those little flips, a little Magic Johnson pass. I mean,
and it was play after play. It wasn't like 70 yards to Tyreek, who's running 5 yards beyond the defense. You know, Buffalo weren't going to give him that. It was being patient and running the game plan and being smart. And so here they go against a different type of defense. It'll be interesting to see because the
if
Rams
they play the way they played last week, they will win this game. If they play as well as they did, the jump they made to play like they did against the Bills, of course, at the end of the game, it came up. Sure, I know. And I got both of you guys looking at me like you didn't really say that.
Well, you're saying if the offense plays well, the defense can't play like I don't know who it is because you got Jalen Ramsey last week. As far as we're talking,
they gave up 28 and 30 points. You're right.
And they don't have what you would say playmakers on defense right now, other than Jalen Ramsey. There's guys who can make plays, but there's nobody whose career is saying, oh, this guy's made plays throughout his career. So, you know, that's they're going against another elite quarterback. Matthew Stafford at 36 is still
36, 16 years in the league, and it's still really, really good. Probably going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. His numbers and his championship, even though he spent a lot of those years in Detroit, is still good. And he's got a lot of weapons, so I expect it's going to be a bit of a shootout there, probably on Monday for everybody to
take the 50 points over. Go over. That's their big betting line, even if I'm not a betting guy.
That's all right. Woody sits back here and hits me with, like, right away goes to spreads on everything. Like,
is that right?
I feel like I got the Hard Rock app right in front of him there, and he's got that thing rolling along. Folks, if you missed it last night, Thursday Night Football was one of the most entertaining games, especially late, with Lamar Jackson scoring late and then Joe Burrow with very little time marches his team down, goes for two. They go for the win on the road.
You can't do that. You can't go for two there, Joe.
I do the same thing.
You can't.
I go for two.
Yeah, go for two every time.
Every time.
I said it right away. I was like, go for it.
38 seconds left, two timeouts. They're going to get the ball. Lamar, your defense is going to have to make a stop whether you go for two and get it or not to win the game. So why lose the game by going for two there? It was the exact same scenario with the Dolphins with just a little more time last week, and Mike McDaniel made the right call. You don't go for two in that situation.
Did it work out?
For who?
Either team. No.
Well,
at least you put it in your hands. Isn't that what you
wait,
ask?
Wait.
Don't you want your destiny in your
if
own hands?
If the Dolphins go for two, they still lose the game because Buffalo kicks a 61-yard field goal.
You don't know that, though. If you're up by one, it could change things.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe his little mindset's a little bit different. Maybe he's thinking more about getting cut instead of making one splitting the uprights.
You know, 41% now. It depends on the defense, I get, but on average around the NFL, 41% of going for two are converted, are successful.
You know, did we have them third and 14? We had them third and 14,
yeah, and
right?
Chop Robinson got that.
Chop gives five
sides.
Back.
He got a sack, and then he got
and
all
then
sides.
That.
Yeah, that was bad.
That changes everything.
And they were getting after him. Oh, man. Anyway. It was a great game, by the way. The other side of it is Joe Burrow throwing four touchdown passes. Lamar Jackson threw four touchdowns and, by the way, made a couple of runs that, if you didn't see last night, that only Lamar makes.
If you wondered what top five quarterbacks look like, that game just showed it play after
How
play
about
after
Joe?
Play.
Joe's running for his life, and he looked fantastic.
They're going to get him killed in Cincinnati.
So here's the other thing that gets me. So I keep hearing how they took our receivers away. Their other guy did.
Great point, Joe.
Their other guy did not play last night. So you know that Baltimore's going, they got one guy, he's one of the best in the business, and Ja'Marr Chase, that's the guy we got to stop. He goes 11 catches, 264 yards, and three touchdowns. And you know that's the number one guy you got to stop. And I know they threw a lot of passes to their tight ends, short stuff last night. But the one guy that was going to break big plays, my God, 11 catches for 264 yards. People are going, how's that happen? And they look confused. Even when they doubled them, it was like they didn't look like they knew where they were supposed to be. By the way, that's how guys get fired, except they
won the game. I was going to say, that. I'm thinking, okay, we saw New England so many years take away a receiver, the best receiver, game after game. And to me, that's on the coaches. What are they doing? And I get Ja'Marr Chase is great. Joe Burrow is great. So they're going to make some plays. But 200 and whatever
yards.
264 and three touchdowns? Are you? And like 70-yard, and there are two deep touchdowns to him. And
well, broken, it ended up looking like – actually looked like Tua throwing to Tyreek a couple years ago where he's going down the side and we got the corner and the safety looking at each other going, I thought you were going to be over the top. And he goes, yeah, and I thought you were going to be closer to the receiver. And meanwhile.
And I get John Harbaugh's a great coach.
He's 7-3 today.
I get it. But I saw that. I came away from that Dolphin game thinking, what was he, John Harbaugh doing there?
And remember that year. They had all those collapses in the in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
they had their only problem has been they haven't been able to close on games. But you get in a shootout like that, Lamar's scoring 41 in the first game and comes back with 35 last night.
And that's what people talk about. Well, the Dolphins played Buffalo. They great game. You know what? Cincinnati fans are saying the same thing, and Cincinnati is a. I mean, they're a great 4-4-win team, right?
Yeah, they're 4-6, and they're flying home last night going, we should have won, and I'm sure they're not real happy with the two calls that look like both look like penalties. It looked like Gesicki got held on the line, and he's screaming. And then on top of that, shot to the head into the mask of Joe Burrow, which is always called. But it goes back to one basic thing. After years and years of radio that everybody talks about, why is it a penalty the whole game and then it gets towards the end and the referees pretty much all say, I don't want to be in the middle of the topic of making a call to cost somebody a game.
Well, guess what? You're in the middle of the topic of why didn't you throw the flag there? One of those penalties. Because they're on Amazon, here comes the referee expert saying they got a call.
Said there were two of them.
Yeah.
He didn't go, there was one. There's two you got to call.
And there's Al Michaels saying something like, I don't have a verbatim, but this is happening. This isn't the first time it's happened or something like that. You know, this is happening across the NFL. And
you know,
right.
Cincinnati,
it happened their previous game. It happened their previous game. Sam Darnold gets his head twisted off on a face mask, and there's no call.
That was, by the way,
he got punched really hard.
That was terrible.
That was bad.
I don't know how
they missed the Burrow one, but it was face mask.
But you got a guy doing nothing but watching.
Yes,
right. You got one guy basically protecting the quarterback back there. You do. I mean, that's
right.
You've been to those meetings they used to have before camp started or during camp. They bring him in, and you can ask him questions. And he always started with it. Listen, I know a lot of you don't want to hear it. Our number one job is to protect the quarterback because nobody wants to see the backup quarterback. We're paying those guys a lot of money. They're good for business. We want to do everything we can to keep them healthy. So, and then they went through and they're showing Jason Taylor at the time, swiping, misses the ball and hits the quarterback in the head. He goes, I know this is one you guys don't like. It's a penalty. You can't hit the quarterback in the head. And, you know, and meanwhile, the old school guys are going, this sucks. What the hell? It never used to be like this. And now we're doing this stuff. It's terrible. And so, that game had a lot to talk about last night, from Jamar Chase's fantasy football dream come true. Somebody that had Jamar Chase in fantasy football. You had him all day, Dan Day?
Yeah, I got Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase on my team.
Did you just win? Did you drop the mic last night and go, I don't care about anything else, I win? Or you still need more numbers for other stuff to win it?
You know, I don't worry about all that, man.
Sounds pretty good, brother, right there.
Pretty good. It's a good start for me out there.
Well, listen, if you want to see really good quarterback play last night, it's hard to imagine you're going to see anything better than Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson.
Is Lamar the MVP in the league right now? I mean, midpoint?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a game.
And he's getting better throwing the ball. I mean, he's actually – but it's all the other things that he does once he gets outside the pocket.
Like, he's not slowing down.
Everybody said he was going to slow down.
He's going to get hurt.
What happened to all the other running quarterbacks?
I don't want a running quarterback because he could get hurt. No, well, I want a running and throwing quarterback.
But I'm going to tell you right now, this is not going to change. And the officials, and we'll never know because the NFL is not like the NBA in the last couple minutes. They don't let everybody know what crappy calls that were made, which I don't understand why they throw their guys under the bus.
I love it.
But anyway, They're gonna send an apology to the team that's gonna complain about those two calls and go, you're right, those were penalties, you were right. Okay, have a good day. They can't even comment on it. They get fined. The team can't even come out. Mike McDaniel could not come out the next day and go, I just heard from the league. They told me they were both penalties and they messed up. He get fined for saying that.
You want a funny old school story? Shula had an appointment with Terry McCauley, I can't remember the head of the officials.
Yeah,
and every Monday at say 10 o'clock, and talking to Ann Rodriguez, his longtime secretary,
right?
And she said everybody would stop in the office when that call, because he'd close the door, but he'd be screaming and cursing so loudly that everybody'd be looking at each other, and then at the end he'd say, okay, Jim or Terry, I can't remember. We'll talk to you next week. Good talking to you.
we got classic stories of those sideline officials. Coach Hula go, come here now. And they wouldn't go over there because they didn't want to get their ass ripped. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got a lot of stuff to get to.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Morning, Blue. How you doing there, brother?
I'm doing good, Joe. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we got a lot to get to. Booker T last night. I didn't realize all the games were done now. Number one seed in the region with a 21-16 makeup second half that was postponed from earlier against Palmetto. So how good is Booker T and how deep can they go into the playoffs?
I'll tell you what, they could be a surprise in 2A. You know, Cardinal Gibbons has fallen off quite a bit, and they were one of the teams that figured in 2A to be, you know, especially down South Florida. But the emergence of Booker T. Washington, as I always said, you can never, ever, ever sleep on an Ice Harris team. I mean, he does a tremendous job. A lot of young kids. You know, a lot of first-year players that are playing for him, but they've really come on. I was at that first half of that game, you know, like a month and a half ago, and then it rained, and it was close, and then Booker T yesterday kind of finished it off. And certainly them and a power from the past, Miami Carroll City. Coach Stubbs has done a tremendous job. They'll finish out 7-3. They'll be in the mix as well in 2A. So we'll see what happens south-wise. North, there's a lot of teams, you know, up in North Florida, but certainly, Joe, keep your eye on Booker T. Washington.
All right.
You know, come playoff time.
We got to get in this other topic I've been hitting a little bit, in case you haven't heard. We talked about Norland and Western getting one-game forfeit, lost one game for recruiting. Now Miami Central looks like they're going to forfeit all 8 wins, and they're done. So what happened exactly there, Blue, just so I'm not off target, that Central could let something like this happen where they have a guy that's played too many years of high school football?
Well, exactly, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, there's obviously when something like that happens, a lot of finger-pointing. And you know what? I'm gonna take this approach, and rightfully so. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, you have to know that the kids played. Somebody has to know, you know, whether it's a teammate, whether it's a coach, somebody. In this day of social media, things like that don't go unnoticed. And, you know, I mean, I know everybody involved, the worst part of it is these young men who had nothing to do with it. The seniors who are going to play their last, they thought that maybe they had a really, really legitimate shot to win a state title this
right.
year. You know, kids like Ezekiel Marcelin on the way to University of Miami and Floyd Picard, who's going out west, and some of these seniors who had an opportunity to kind of finish off a career, and it was taken away from them. And that's the sad part, because they lost all 9 games. And, you know, the thing is it somebody somewhere along the line to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I played youth football league with that guy, and he was, you know, a year ahead of me.
Right.
You know, and how are we in the same grade now? And, you know, I mean, in this case, you want to kind of walk on eggshells, but you can't. Too many bad things have happened out of this. And it's not like they lost a game or 2 games, but they lost a season.
Yeah.
And that's sad. And that's a real sad part of this whole thing, that, you know, maybe the wake-up call is going to have a lot of these ADs and these principals and administrators and coaches, you know, have to be accountable for this. Something has to be, you know. I mean, you just can't sweep this under the rug. I mean, these are young men's lives. And this is a part where you look back in 10 years and go, oh, we had a chance, you know, we played
first. Yeah, no, for sure.
But now they got to sit home. And that's bad. You know, you look at the New Orleans situation where when they played Coco, they had a young man kicked out of the game, and the very next week he played against American Heritage. So to me, that's, you know, I mean, that's another thing. You got to figure, hey, oh, that kid was kicked out, and the rules are, and everybody knows the rules.
Yeah, that's no surprise. That's right.
Yeah, and that to me, and what that did is that turned the entire situation around for New Orleans, from going from a number one seed, a district champion, and somebody who could have hosted when they played the rematch against American Heritage, Now American Heritage becomes the number one seed statewide. We'll have the home advantage all the way through. And when they rematch with that Norlin, which is probably going to happen, now the fans will be limited because Heritage isn't a very big stadium. So you take all those fans, and Norlin has some crazy supportive fans, and you take them out of the mix. And that's another thing. When it's done, it's not the players, and the players have to pay the price.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. And then you look at the other situation in Western, and that's one of those things, too, that somebody had to know. You know, I was out there last week for their West Broward game, and, you know, I asked questions, but, you know, you never get a great answer. But in that case, and I will tell you, watch out for Western. They are a good football team. They kind of laid low all year, but let's look at who they lost to. You know, they lost to Hoover, Alabama, who's now 11-1. They lost to St. Thomas Aquinas. They lost to Chaminade. They lost to American Heritage. And those are their losses on field. And there's certainly no shame to lose to all those teams. Now, when the playoffs begin next week, most likely, and we'll find out today because the FHSA will release tonight the brackets for next week, or for the playoffs. And we'll find out where they sit. Do they sit at a 6 seed?
Yeah.
Or do they sit at a 7 seed or even an 8 seed where they would play the number 1 seed Columbus? And I'm sure Dave Dunn doesn't want that right off
right.
the bat, especially with a program like this that's, they could be one of those teams, you know, that could surprise everybody. They have talent and certainly have a lot of coaching.
Hey, Blue, I got to ask you one more question, and I'm done with this high school, this transfer and all this. I really am. I have nothing against the transfer once a year.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem. Like, so these things are all happening. So we got to look at, like, somebody's letting them into the school. I understand a principal's got a big job. He's in charge of everybody at that school. But if you get a guy and somebody says, hey, this dude happens to be very good, if you're letting a guy in that's literally just transferring just because his girlfriend's going to school there and he's not very good, nobody cares. So we're talking about good players, right? First of all,
yeah.
Is this an AD thing? Is it a principal thing? Is it a Dade County athletic director thing when somebody that everybody needs to know about it? Or is it a coach thing? Where's this fall on?
It's got to be a district thing. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be school by school. And certainly, you know, I talked to Rocky Gillis from Broward County, and we talked about that. And there's just, you know, you're setting yourself up almost for failure, because what can happen now, and Kim Bocamper and I talked about this when I saw him, what it is you got to lack discipline, because if you get in a kid's face or this or that, and that's on a Friday, and then Monday he's enrolled someplace else, what kind of signal does that send, especially in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
Now, if you leave at the beginning or during spring, that's one thing.
I agree. But
how can you leave in game 6 or game 7 and then still be eligible?
We ought to put the new rule in. It's called quitter's rule. You can't quit. You're going to find out something in real life. Like, hey, I'm sorry you're not getting as many footballs thrown to you. I'm sorry you're not getting as many carries. I'm sorry you found out you're the backup because you're not as good as the other guy. Guess what, man? That's part of life. So
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And not only that, when you make a move, I mean, okay, let's say your family moves from one place to another, then you have no option. But when you just move because of the fact, I mean, there's got to be a reason. And when I say this to somebody, they go, well, he had to go because of this. What? What? You know, I mean, come on. He started, do you let your teammates down? Especially there's a couple of kids who left in the middle of that had played a role at that school, and they just left. And it's, you know what? And the thing is somebody mentioned this to me the other day, you could have virtually by game 5 of a lot of these schools, a lot of these star players see that they're not going to win the district, they could all go to another school and they'll have a super program by the end of the year. there's got to be some.
Does anybody in the Florida High School Athletic Association or Manny Diaz, the politician, does anybody think there's something wrong with what we have going on? Does anybody think that I don't know. That's maybe what we're all into.
It's a county by county thing, and that's the whole thing. You know, it's not a state thing. State goes on eligibility, but that has nothing to do with eligibility. That's just, you know, a county should say, hey, listen, no, It's not happening here, okay? Either you stay at your other school or you sit out the rest of the year. We can't have this going on. We just can't. Yeah. I mean, you could tell me all the things you want when I'm on the sideline, and you could tell me all the excuses you want, Joe, about why this happened. It should never happen. It's never happened in the past. It would never have happened 10, 15 years ago.
I'm glad you feel that way, Blue. I'm glad to hear that, because I'm sure we're all taking a little crap that we're not allowing kids to and parents to do whatever they want. Oh, my God, it's so bad. Hey, real quickly, give me the top five teams as we get ready to start the playoffs next week.
Well, obviously, Chaminade stays at one.
Oh, yes, they do.
Central drops away, from that new number two position. Heritage goes into that number two position.
All right.
St. Thomas.
Diabel.
Yes, exactly. Then you have St. Thomas, and then you have a Northwestern team. Teddy Bridgewater's played extremely well. Now they have an opportunity with Central out of the way to maybe get to the entire state finals. And I'm gonna elevate a program that I think has done tremendously, and we just talked about it. I think Western's the top five team right now.
Western's come all the way back to being a top five.
But we'll see. Everything plays out, and when we start things out next week, we'll have a better idea of who's going where, and we'll see if we have an exciting first round game. Usually, you just have like a 1-8, but. You never know, especially with all this shuffling around. But next week, we'll have really good things to talk about.
It's going to be good. By the way, Rocky Gillis, always a good way to go. What a stand-up dude he is. I love myself some Rocky, man. You got to have a few drinks in the Bahamas with Rocky to really understand him.
I hear you.
All right. Thanks, Blue. Right, appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you.
Hollywood's up in Nashville. Hopefully listen to country music in the morning and the night.
You don't think he watched the Panthers game there last year? Watch it from a Panthers point of view.
No.
No. Probably out of the bars with his wife dancing. Hollywood, he's not a dancer?
But I think he's sitting around having a few drinks with her and
some bourbon up in
Nashville.
I think
they got friends with him up there. But he's, I'm guessing he takes some time off from sports. He does a lot of stuff at Barry. He does a lot of stuff at University of Miami. And then, of course, he's got to be the full-time babysitter for me here. So he's got a lot on his plate there.
I hope he hit the dance floor in Nashville, though.
There's no shot. We went there. I did have fun. I went with my whole family, and we did have fun. And
it's a good city for a week. It's a nice weekend city, isn't it? I mean, a little.
The music and stuff's great. I do agree. It's not the music I listen to all the time, but it was great because it was all live and the food and the drinks, which I don't have a problem with.
Dan Day brought out Garth Brooks for the last.
Yeah,
thing.
I wasn't expecting
country,
that one.
A little country.
Louisiana background, I think, came in there, a little of that country stuff he hit me with. Yeah, hit me with a little bit of that. Hey, so we got all kinds of stuff going on, and we got a lot more coming up here. Mike McDaniel had a lot of stuff yesterday on the fins and not making, any moves at the trade deadline. Really, no reason to bring it up now. It's been a lot of things we've said. They've looked at this roster. They like this group. They believe in them. They're playing better football. They think they got a chance, a real legit chance to make a run starting Monday Night Football. If they can beat the Rams. And then, I listen, it's no secret. They're playing the Raiders and the Patriots the next two games at home. So their mindset, I said this before, and I got some crazy looks, so you guys don't think it's just you that's getting kind of anybody's pissed that we're sitting here at 2-6 and you can't get over it. If they can beat the Rams, listen, you go 2-7, all bets are off. To me, the Raiders and Patriots game doesn't matter a whole lot if you lose this game. But if you win it, then you take care of the Raiders and the Patriots, you're back to 5-6. And now all of a sudden, you might only be a game out of that. It's about a wild card spot. There's two wild card spots this thing's going to come down to.
Probably about the last wild card spot.
Might be the last one.
But you break their season down, there's the
Chargers ones. And Broncos have the last two spots right now.
Yes.
At 5-3 and 5-4.
And they'll go at it. I mean, the Chargers, you talk about what a coach can do. Harbaugh comes, all of a sudden they've gone from a defense that was in the 20s under Brandon Staley, a defensive coach supposedly. Now they're the number one scoring defense in the league. The Chargers are.
And he likes to run the ball. And they don't throw it a lot. They don't throw it like everybody thought Herbert, he'd be lighting it up.
Well,
like he
threw 250 yards in the first half last week, and then they shut it down, and he ended up with like 270.
Oh, he did?
So, yeah, but to your point, yeah, he runs a very controlled game. But you break the Dolphins' schedule up into the gimmies that they just have to win. They can't lose to the
Raiders.
Well, they
gave some
gimmies
away already.
They're half the win total of Tennessee and one of those other two. There's like 9 2-win teams. It's a very bizarre league right now. But the games that they're going to have to show that they're better than they have been, and is this weekend against the Rams.
Dave, you can't come home 2-7.
You can't. This season's over.
I
think it's a little bit of a fantasy to go 7-2. Okay, I get it. They have to. They don't have any other choice but to think that. But let's be honest. The 7-2.
Well, I think some guys are playing for jobs, and I don't mean players.
I think everybody, absolutely.
I mean, everybody's got to be reevaluated. Everyone. It has to be looked at.
If they go down, keep going south like this, then Chris Greer's gone. And if he's gone, what do you do with Mike McDaniel? Yeah. How does Steve Ross structure it from there? So
got to get wins on the road, too. Like this, you know, sure. By the way, I really believe they're going to come home and beat the Raiders and Patriots. You want to talk about terrible losses. You lose to what the Raiders have done and who they've gotten rid of and the Patriots. Got their own problems, but the Rams, they need to get that game. It's not going to be an easy one. Rams got a good team.
Yeah, and now I was just looking at the injury report. The Rams are getting an offensive lineman back, but they lost one of their tackles. He's not going to play this game. So, and all this matter, and Teron Armstead will be blocking their very good rookie from Florida State verse. You know,
I'm not worried about one
that
guy.
That cancels him out of the game. You won't hear from verse in the game. Okay, so.
Teron Armstead right now, and by the way, I want to give that guy a lot of respect for not mailing it in on what could be his last year of football. Now, he may just end up putting this thing together and get the itch to want to play again, although I don't know what the salary and stuff, if they can keep him. But the fact that he has played as hard and as well as he has, I think he's grading out as the number one tackle in football right now. The number one tackle. One, he's like number one, and the other one, he's down a couple of spots. I don't know if it's run blocking or the pass protection, but he's played really well.
He's like The question was never talent with Armstead. It was availability. And do you want to go down the road with a guy who you don't know is he going to be?
You draft a guy in the second round. You got a big guy. You got a guy in the second round.
He's on scholarship this year.
And we just sat and we just goo goo gaga all over him in the preseason. His ass needs to come back and be ready to play. You're the guy. You're the guy. Not year three. Not year four. You need to come back and be the guy next year. All right. Hey, listen, we've got 8 o'clock hour come. Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us. Paul Maurice from the Panthers is going to join us as well. Nobody smoking hot like the Panthers are right now.
What a fun ride they are. They got it all up and running the way every team does. Star players playing
the
like
GM's
stars.
GM's connected to the head coach. The head coach connected to the core of really good players.
And the GM overseeing it all, knowing what they got running.
Yeah, good stuff right across the board. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.